what's happening.
Run
for your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Monday morning, 10 o'clock. What's up, everybody? Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, 5 hours live and local. We'll kick it over to AWOD Radio at noon. He's at Capital Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. Big weekend in sports, lots to get to. A little, you know, there's always the gap. We end the Friday show, and then we pick up the Monday show, and a lot has happened in that interim. Really, though, the gap here between the two shows, bigger than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. When we left you Friday, Hazel wasn't here, Megan wasn't here, and the world's number one golfer had just been arrested. We're on the other side of all three of those things now. Yeah. We've got a little resolution on what happened with Scottie Scheffler. We'll take that on. Hazel's back and Woo! Saw seven Broadway shows in
That's
a week.
That's right. Gosh, I know, we went crazy.
Yeah, give us a report on that later. And one modern dance spectacular.
We don't need to get into that. I will just say that we are all modern dancing right now.
You've suffered enough. you've suffered enough. No reason to make you relive that. Megan's back.
Yeah.
Last week, you produced three of the five shows.
I did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The other 2 days... Yeah. There was free food in here.
Yeah, I'm still mad about it. I'm not... Look, whoever's bringing the food up to here, like the days that I'm not here, I am mad at you. I am out. Like, I have it out for you right now.
Consider yourself officially on notice.
You've been warned.
Redemption today, though. Redemption
yeah.
today. Bluebell Ice Cream...
Yep, we got a tasting.
...is in the lobby tasting their... What new summer season?
Yeah, 2024 flavors.
Seasonal flavors.
Like yeah.
All right. But that's 11. That's yep. during this show. We can't all go down there. So,
I mean, maybe we could just have like a really long commercial break. You guys don't mind, right?
I think you're going to need to bring them up to
yeah.
us
okay.
so that we can taste
several
on air.
Trips, maybe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mike Barber joins the show at 10:30. Always love having Mike on. He was at UVA's lacrosse game yesterday. I covered lacrosse 10 years ago, and at the time, what was, you know, a lot more schools were getting good at lacrosse. Mm. And so, which I say, like, the Final Four is the big thing to make in lacrosse, and the coaches were like, hey, like, you got to start getting your expectations down. There's too many good teams. We can't make the Final Four every year. There's like 10 good teams now. There's still only 4 spots in the Final Four. Here we are a decade later. UVA still making the Final Four every year, so good for them. We'll check in on a double overtime win for the Wahoos yesterday. We've got the clip. Let's play the clip. Why not? Let's fire it up. UVA lacrosse. Here's Connor Schellenberg. So first off, they pulled the goalie in the first quarter. The goalie gives up like 3 in a row. They're losing 3-0. They pull the goalie. The backup goalie leads them to a double overtime victory. Here's Connor Schellenberger with the winner for the Wahoos.
Against Smith. Wheels down the alley. Changing direction. Yeah. Left hand! Shelly wins it for Virginia! The Cavaliers in double overtime! And they're headed back to championship weekend!
Connor Schellenberger with the winner for UVA. They're back to the Final Four. They'll face Maryland. That's not an ACC matchup, but it might as well be. Enough bad blood between those two. Who's Talking returns tonight as well. Very timely return for Who's Talking. They've taken the last few weeks off. Good timing that they come back on the heels of not only a lacrosse Final Four, but a big weekend for UVA baseball, which took Virginia Tech to 13 innings in the Commonwealth Clash. Tech scored in the top of the 13th, so Virginia Tech was in line to win the game before UVA walked it off.
2-2 now. Shoemaker. This one ripped towards the gap. Dinowick hits it high. It's out of here! A walk-off two-run home run for Harrison Dinowick. His 22nd of the season, and Virginia sweeps the Commonwealth Clash.
Three 3-game sweep for the Cavs. The ACC tournament starts this week, so lots going on in the world of UVA sports. Who's Talking? We'll cover that tonight, of course. We got Mike Barber at 10:30. We got to go around the whole world of sports because there's a lot going on out there, including break up the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Last time we chatted on Friday, I was about to head over to the game. The fourth win in a row for the Squirrels, who had lost 8 straight, then came back, won 5 in a row before dropping yesterday's. Yeah. A lot of people saying you're responsible for that, Megan. Good pregame energy. No, the win, Friday.
Oh, okay. I was going to say
Friday's win. You were the pregame musical performer.
Yes, I got to hype them up.
How was it?
It was so cool. I was like on the big screen. I know I keep mentioning that because it was so cool. I was on the big screen. You could hear me throughout the whole stadium. Nutsy was like dancing to the performance. It was just really cool. And then we got to eat like a really good, nachos and cheeseburger afterwards and recover. And so very nerve wracking. It's probably like one of the biggest performances I've ever done. But after, doing it once, I love it. I want to do it again.
What I learned from seeing you after the performance is that if you are the musical performer, you get a free lunch.
Yes, you do, and your whole team does too. Yeah.
You had the whole crew support you. Ashley. Yep. Ashley was there. Ashley got a free lunch.
Ashley got a free lunch too.
Everybody got a free lunch.
Very nice.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Like they ask you how many people are you, like, on your team coming with you, how many bandmates you have, and I was like, oh well, four people, And they're like, all right.
You're complaining about not getting free food.
I got it Friday from the Squirrels. I don't get it from Odyssey anymore.
That sounds like you're in the wrong place. You need to be working with Trey and Blaine out there.
Apparently.
Yeah. We got Trey tomorrow, back Tuesdays with Trey. We had Trey Friday last week before the Nooner game.
Mixing it up.
We were mixing it up a little bit, exactly. But they had the noon game, so we rolled right into Trey and Blaine. We could hear them on the Comrex while we were doing this show. They were doing their vocal warm-ups, Blaine, mm-hmm. Blaine likes to sing opera to get ready for the games, hit all those really high notes up there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm looking at you like, the nose is growing.
Exactly. So much to get to today. Big week ahead for the show, too. Matt Hagen is in studio tomorrow. Matt is the reigning funny car champion in the NHRA, National Hot Rod Association. They're in town this week at Virginia Motorsports Park. He'll tell us about driving in cars really fast.
And funny.
The car is funny.
The car is funny, but also fast.
The car is funny. The driver is very serious. you can't approach that in a lighthearted fashion when you're driving one of those cars. I'm in Ashburn Wednesday, so here's the story. We'll be live from Ashburn Wednesday from Commander's Park. That's the new... It's not FedEx Field anymore. Mm. It's Commander's Park.
It's got a better ring.
We'll be in Ashburn, though. We'll be at the training facility, which is the Commander's Park Training Center. So we'll have some special guests live Wednesday who are not players, like other media people and stuff, because the practice starts at 11:55. So the players won't get there until we're at the end of the show. Mm. But we'll record some interviews after the show, play them back for you on Thursday. And then Friday, we have a special guest. Her name's Sheena Jeffers. I worked with her way back when. She's written a book about sailing around the world. It was herself and her fiancé. They lived on a boat for a couple of years.
Insane.
And they broke up in the end on the boat.
So much worse.
When you said insane, I was like, oh, you don't know what's coming.
So much worse.
Whoa. No. So it should be a fun week on the program. MP on the mic, of course. Always happy for you to join us. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, live worldwide on the free Odyssey app and on all major podcast platforms. Lots to get to today. Of course, we'll wrap up the golf. Of course, we will keep our eyes posted. There's a report this morning that the charges are going to be dropped against Scottie Scheffler, who last we had heard was maybe running over a cop, maybe following all traffic directions and moving smoothly, definitely in jail before one of the four biggest golf tournaments of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great round Friday. I think ran out of gas on Saturday. Picked it back up on Sunday. Finished strong. Probably could have won the thing if he hadn't been arrested. Not only were the charges dropped, they can't find the body cam footage from the officer, which we can't find it. Just an incredible.
Where could it have gone?
Incredibly coincidental turn of events.
Very believable.
What were the odds that after a thing where the only eyewitnesses we've heard from have said, yeah, the cop was kind of out of line, that cop's body cam footage would somehow mysteriously not be available? Mm. What were the odds? But he's okay. Scotty's okay. He's a little shaken. He stretched in the jail cell before he was bailed out and driven to the course to play on Friday. Oof. A completely surreal turn of events. And they say golf's boring.
And they say Scotty's boring.
They say Scotty Scheffler's boring. Scotty, that was an exciting weekend for Scotty Scheffler. Also on the women's tour, the LPGA, we've got a developing dominance situation. Nelly Korda is one of the golfers on the women's tour, has won 6 of the last 7 tournaments contested, which is very hard to do because a lot of people enter every tournament. So 6 of the last 7 for her. We'll dive into all that. Big fight after the NASCAR race last night. I was making fun of it because it was the all-star race. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that NASCAR has an all-star race is hilarious because the concept of an all-star game is you get all the best players in the sport and you get them in one place and they play together, which doesn't happen in basketball and baseball now. So in NASCAR, you get all the best drivers and you put them on one track and they race each other.
Woo!
Which is also...
Every race.
yeah. There's no... Mm. Yeah.
That is how it works.
There's nothing special there. But they made it special. Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. made it special by fighting after the race. A full-on melee there. People were pushing each other. Yeah, there's video of it and everything.
The clip was wild.
Not a fake fight. Like baseball fights are the gold standard of fake fights. Everybody's going, hold me back. Nobody's actually holding them back. Like, if I weren't held back, I'd be wailing on you. But nobody's actually holding them back in any way. Some NFL news we'll get to. The Commanders make a hire. Brandon Sosna, the Detroit Lions, is going to come be their senior director of football administration. They let some scouts go. They're starting to fill out their new front office under Adam Peters. And this is one of the unfortunate things about the timing of the NFL and the way the NFL works is you've got, unfortunately, the most important draft for this franchise in years, number 2 overall pick, picking a quarterback. But Adam Peters shows up and he's working with the old team, not his team, because the way the scouting world works is you fill those positions after the draft. So they're going to hire Adam Peters' crew now. But a great hire for them. We'll break all that down. And of course, Harrison Butker versus the world. All that, it's the Monday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Lots to cover in the world of the NBA and NHL. We'll start on the ice because you know I love a good NHL segment. We got ourselves not just a Game 7 tonight, the Game 7 tonight. We got the Edmonton Oilers at the Vancouver Canucks tonight. 9 o'clock puck drop. I'm calling it now. I'm declaring it. I'm staying awake for this one. That's old man Phillips here doing radio. MP on the Mic. Old guy complains about things starting late. I'm staying awake as long as this takes to get resolution tonight. Connor McDavid, world's best player. Vancouver's been playing well at home. We'll have our Canadian entrant into the Final Four. One of the two will win and advance to the next round to face the Dallas Stars. Here's your stat from Dallas. Mavericks won over the weekend, locked up their series in the NBA. Dallas Stars in the Final Four as well in the NHL. And the Texas Rangers baseball team coming off of a world title last year. So the days since the team has last appeared in the Final Four in their respective sport. For the Mavericks, 0 days. They're there right now. The Stars, 0 days. The Rangers, that was 209 days ago. The fourth team in Dallas, as you may know, is the Dallas Cowboys. They play football. They're of some renown. It has been 10,352 days since the Dallas Cowboys were in the NFC title game, not the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
But the game to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
10,352 days. Just jeez. Let that keep your Commander's heart afloat on this Monday morning. Yeah, that the America's team has been talking a good game for just as long and failing for just as long. They are neck and neck in that competition. Now, the Commanders, Washington, have failed more spectacularly for way more losses over that period of time. But at the end of the day, when they add it all up, zero's the number. Zero NFC title game appearances in going on 4 decades now. We're entering the fourth decade of the streak here. It's been a minute. 91 was the Commanders, and so we crossed the 30 year anniversary here. We're entering the fourth decade of futility in both places, in Dallas and Washington. But on the ice, the Stars' great finish over the weekend, double overtime. Here is the call.
In the corner, back for Pavelski, couldn't shoot cleanly. Marchman, where is it? Duchesne, he scores! Who else could it be? Matt Duchesne in Colorado ends the Avalanche season. And he has sent the Stars to the conference final.
Double overtime winner for the Stars. The Eastern Conference final get underway Wednesday when the Florida Panthers visit New York to take on the New York Rangers. Your other NHL news, Rob Brindamore, is the Carolina Hurricanes coach. He is returning next year. That was uncertain. His contract was up. They had negotiations, and the Carolina Hurricanes will retain Brindamore and his staff for the next season. We go to the basketball, though. I mean, with Rod Brindamore, too. Like, everybody's always going to say, oh, you didn't make the Stanley Cup. You've got a great team. They pushed the Rangers to the brink. That was a good team all year. You don't break up something like that. You can ask the Caps fans who ran Barry Trotz out of town prematurely. You regret not bringing back coaches like that. You got to make changes. The game evolves, but it's the right call for the Canes to bring back Rod Brindamore as their coach. I'll go to the hardwood here, where it was a busy weekend in the NBA, starting with the Knicks-Pacers series, which had been incredibly hyped the whole way. Game 7 in the Garden, absolutely off the charts, energy, enthusiasm. And then the Indianapolis Pacers pull the upset with the highest shooting percentage in NBA playoff history. Made 67% of their shots yesterday at the Garden in Game 5. It's one of the storylines, the Knicks just running out of players, injuries piling up down the stretch. Here is Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau noting that at the end, there just weren't a lot of Knicks left.
I thought guys gave everything they had, and that's all you could ask. And so it was a battle all year, and there was nothing left to give at the end.
Now, the other side of that coin is he's a coach who's known for being intense and demanding with his players and running them down and them getting injured late in the year, which means that you have to have the rest of the coaching fraternity come to bat for him, right? Nobody's going to be like, well, yeah, he's probably too hard on the players. If everybody was just softer on the players, everything would go a lot smoother here. That's what the players want you to think, of course. Here's Rick Carlisle, Pacers coach, going to bat for Tibbs.
Pound for pound, there's no better coach in this league than Tibbs. And what he got out of that team was amazing. You know, the competitive level in this series was through the roof. We played a great game tonight, but whatever we threw at them, they kept coming. They kept coming. The crowd was unbelievable.
Pound for pound's a weird weird phrase there. I don't know why we're judging coaches pound for pound against each other.
Throw them on the scale.
Yeah, this is Stan Van Gundy, pound for pound, greatest coach of all time. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not sure why we're doing coaches pound for pound at this juncture. But Rick Carlisle, UVA guy, that UVA education there. He's smarter than me. He's got big UVA show. Got the lacrosse, got the baseball, got UVA coach Rick Carlisle leading the Pacers, the odd team out here in the Final Four, the one that you did not peg as being in it. So it'll be Pacers and the Celtics, and then in the West, What a performance last night by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Here's your stretch as they close out the Nuggets in the final minutes, starting with a Naz Reid dunk.
Ant's got it up top against Gordon. Frees himself, rises up, three ball on the way, off the rim, no. Slam, follow, Naz Reid, the sixth man of the year, comes soaring in from the wing. He's got 11 for the game. Conley picks the pocket of Jamal Murray. Conley feeds it to Naz, down the lane, extra pass to the corner. Ant sets himself, fires the three, he hits it! It's 92-82, the Wolves lead by 10.
We'll dive back into that. Anytime you have a comeback like that, credit to the Timberwolves. Also, the Nuggets really came unraveled in that second half, but the T-Wolves, man, that is a legit title contender team in Minnesota. I don't think they came out of nowhere either. That team's been knocking on the door for a long time. We're in for a heck of a series, Timberwolves against the Mavs. I think that one's going to be a lot of fun, and you can spare me because I... Yo, ESPN, oh, the Knicks aren't in. Oh, the Lakers aren't in. What are we going to do? We're going to watch the games because the games are good and these players are good. And, you know, I think everybody who watched yesterday's game is a little tired already of hearing ESPN give its love to the big markets and not the teams who are deserving of it. Timberwolves in that camp. Mavericks, absolutely in that camp as well. I haven't mentioned the Celtics because they wrapped things up early last week. They are the fourth team in the Final Four. So we've got our Final Four set in basketball. We'll have the Final Four set in hockey at the end of the night tonight. In lacrosse, college lacrosse, we have our Final Four set. UVA is still dancing. Our guy Mike Barber joins us to break that down on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. 10:30 Monday morning. It's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Excited to welcome on our next guest, Mike Barber. Of course, you know him from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, richmond.com, on his way back from NCAA lacrosse. Mike, you've covered UVA lacrosse for a while. Nobody's ever surprised when UVA makes the national semis, but given the way this season ended, a little surprising, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There were two conflicting narratives kind of at the end of the year. One was that the ACC is just really good, and losing four straight ACC games, two of them to Notre Dame, the number one team, really wasn't anything to worry about. And the other narrative was not winning a game in over a month means you're not very good. I honestly didn't subscribe particularly to one or the other. I wasn't quite sure. There was a sense, though, that once this team beat St. Joe's in the opening round, that maybe they had kind of found their way again, and I think that proved to be the case in what was a great and, you know, dramatic game. It's certainly not like they rolled through Hopkins, but the way things ended in the regular season and in the ACC tournament, it was certainly reasonable to wonder how long this team would be playing in May.
And then you pull the goalie in the first quarter of the national quarterfinal. What's the story there?
So Matthew Nunes has been shaky this year. They pulled him against Duke. He had a terrible quarter. They said he was injured. They saw he wasn't right, and they yanked him. Then he had a pretty rough start at Syracuse, too, although the defense didn't help him. And they stuck with him, and they've stuck with him ever since through ups and downs. I'll tell you, Sunday he gave up four goals on the first five shots, and they did not hesitate. They yanked him. They put in the redshirt freshman, Kyle Morris. You know, they've been telling us all year that there are weeks in practice that Kyle's the better goalie. I don't know how much I believe that, but certainly they felt good enough about Kyle to make that move very quickly Sunday, and it ended up proving to be the right move.
It was a wild game, double overtime. Connor Schellenberger with the winner. What's the vibe from this team here going into the national semis now? Is it, you know, we've conquered these demons here, we can take on anybody? Is there still trepidation given a pair of tight tournament games? What's the feel?
No, I think this team, right or wrong, and I don't know if I agree with them, but they've had the confidence that they can beat anybody. I think it helps, too, that, look, they beat Maryland, who they're going to face in the semis here. They beat Maryland during the regular season, and certainly Maryland is playing much better now. It's going to be a different game, but there's no reason, if you're Virginia, not to be confident in this matchup. Duke, who beat Virginia, is out of the tournament. Syracuse, who beat Virginia, is out of the tournament. And Notre Dame, who is the prohibitive favorite, is on the other side of the bracket. So I think Virginia is riding high, and in a sense they should be, right? I mean, you know this with this program. they have as much talent as anybody in the country. They have maybe the best player in the country in Connor Schellenberger. So they are very confident. I still think Notre Dame is the team to beat, but I wouldn't be surprised by a Virginia-Notre Dame part three in Philadelphia.
Mike Barber joining us. You know him, Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. He knows not to book his Memorial Day plans because UVA is in this thing more often than not. I went to a couple of these. I know you've been to a few of these now. It's for lacrosse, which is, you know, not a fully mainstream sport yet. I know it's gaining ground, but it's not all the way there yet. This is always the signature event. They pack the house. It's they put on a nice show at the Final Four.
Yeah, they really do, and I think you're right. You know, it still certainly is what we call a little bit of a niche sport. It's not mainstream in terms of where football and basketball are. And then I'm always blown away when I get to the Final Four and I see the crowd, and or I spend the week, you know, with the people who are interested in the coverage. And it is. It's like the College World Series, right? I mean, there are a lot of people who don't pay a lot of attention to college baseball, but they've got Omaha on their bucket list, or they tune in for the College World Series, and they've done a great job with it. I think you're seeing there was a great crowd at Towson this weekend. I think you're seeing the sport growing. Certainly, it's always been popular in the Baltimore and Virginia areas, but I think it's growing. I mean, Denver is a great story, and what they've done with that program out west. So it should be a lot of fun, and you know, it's one of those tournaments that always delivers in terms of there are a lot of schools that have added lacrosse, a lot of schools are playing lacrosse, but usually when you get to the Final Four, you've got four of the top five teams that you thought would be there, and I think that's the case again this year. They've delivered a really high-level bunch of matchups.
Should be a fun weekend starting Saturday afternoon, title game Monday. Mike, what's on your Philly list? Are you a Cheese State guy?
I am. There's a bunch of stuff. I love Philadelphia. Last year, I took the whole family with me, and we stayed the entire time. This time, it'll be a little more in and out work-wise, but certainly cheesesteaks. I'm a big cheesesteak guy, but there's a great, and I don't know why this is, but there is a great Cuban restaurant called Mixto in a little tucked-in neighborhood in Philadelphia that's not far from downtown that is one of my favorite restaurants anywhere in the country, so I'm hoping to squeeze in a dinner there as well.
Ooh, I love it. My Philly dining memory, went up there for a football game, and we had this Italian place in like Little Italy, and it was very clearly like mob run, and Grant Paulsen does Grant and Danny the afternoon show. We sit down and Grant orders the lasagna, and the waiter's like, "Nah, you don't want that." And Grant's like, I actually would. I'd like the lasagna. He goes, "No, I'm going to bring you." And then like he names off a different meal. Like, that's what you want that. And we were always speculating, like, had they run out of lasagna? What was the bit there? But he wasn't getting the lasagna. So then they bring the receipts at the end of the meal. And you know, like when you're in a taxi, they just give you the blank receipt to fill out. They gave us all just blank receipts to the restaurant to fill out for the expense report.
I love it, and that's the question is, did Grant like what he got instead of the lasagna?
No, Grant's a picky eater, and he talks about this on the show, too. He's like a chicken fingers and fries guy. We had to do some work to get him to this place originally, so yeah, he didn't leave happy, but I left happy, so you know, that the important constituents were satisfied.
I was gonna say that's what you were aiming for in the first place.
Big win. Mike Barber from the Richmond Times Dispatch, richmond.com. While you're here, let's go outside of lacrosse for a minute if you don't mind, because this is a big week in the world of college sports. ACC presidents are going to vote on this potential settlement that may open the door to revenue sharing, the back payments of NIL to athletes who didn't get them over the past decade. What's your big picture sense on what this week could bring and what this means for college sports if we truly have de facto revenue sharing in college sports?
Yeah, well, when the ACC meetings broke up last week, I would have told you that this thing's a slam dunk because the Power Five conferences are fully in support of it. I think Virginia and Virginia Tech will both vote this week in favor of accepting the settlement. The snafu that they've run into, and it's an interesting one, is the non-Power Five leagues, who are not named in this lawsuit, by the way, are sticking their hand up and saying, "Wait, why are we paying a big chunk of money if we're not being sued?" And I think they have a little bit of leverage here. It's going to be interesting to see if they push back and say, "You're going to have to pay a little more from the Power Five pocket and take a little less out of the rest of us, the group of five and those other teams, because our name isn't on that lawsuit. Now, at the end of the day, I think certainly they've created a structure where those leagues and those schools certainly need the Power Five teams. I think they'll get the deal done still, but I think the agreement is going to pass, but who's paying what portion of it is what's going to be interesting to keep an eye on here. And yeah, you know, certainly it's a lawsuit. So the punitive damages, the back pay to the athletes, the people who lost out on revenue, that was a big part of the case, but it's really not a big part for us going forward, right? That's coming out of pockets, absolutely. I get that. But the big piece for us going forward is the revenue sharing model that they come up with. What are they going to do in terms of paying athletes directly? How is that going to change the NIL landscape? And, you know, it's part of the reason that you've sort of heard almost a cooling of people demanding, you know, we need an NIL structure and framework. Well, let's wait and see what this week holds, because that may all go out the window if we get revenue sharing. And if we get what I think most of us think is going to be a necessary evil with the revenue sharing, which is some kind of collective bargaining, right? It's not sustainable to have guys virtually free agents year after year, and it's not right educationally. If you're still banging the drum that this is still about some level of being a student athlete, look, when you're a free agent, yeah, I know, you got to move your family, you got to find a new house, all those things. In college, you're talking about transferring credits, and that doesn't always work. So I think what we're going to see next year is some form of, yes, revenue sharing, and maybe a measure or some degree of collective bargaining to make this actually work long term.
And then, of course, you got the Title IX lawsuit that's coming right after that, because I don't think the schools envision themselves splitting that $21 million among male and female athletes equally, would be my sense.
No, 100%. And look, either way, whichever way that law is interpreted, Title IX in terms of its impact, the other side is going to sue. So, you know, don't put away your court suit yet. If you're the ACC, the NCAA, anybody, like that, whoever loses out on the initial kind of interpretation of how this is going to work is going to find themselves in court with the other side. And it's a tough one. I don't know what the answer is, right? Because certainly on the one hand, you're talking about revenue sharing. Well, are you sharing the revenue that is generated by your sport, or are you talking about sharing the revenue that is generated by college sports? And that is a sort of a base pinnacle question that I don't know the answer to, and I can almost guarantee you it's going to be decided by a guy wearing a black robe and sitting on a bench.
Or at the airport hotel in Dallas, where all things get decided apparently these days that involve college sports. Mike Barber, appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. Safe travels this weekend. Enjoy Philly.
Thanks for having me.
Off he goes. Mike Barber, read him at Richmond.com, the Richmond Times-Dispatch, all that. We didn't even mention UVA baseball walk off in the 13th inning against Virginia Tech to sweep the Commonwealth Clash. I bet they'll talk about that tonight on Who's Talking, our UVA-dedicated program. This program is allowed to go off the rails. I even encourage this program to go off the rails. Who's Talking must stay on the rails at all times. Must be UVA focused at all times. It's in the Odyssey Constitution somewhere. You can go read it. Otherwise it just opens this up to more lawsuits, and nobody wants that. Hazel's Broadway report coming up next. We'll also revisit the golf from the weekend, which we don't do every weekend, but then again, the number one player in the world doesn't get arrested every weekend at the golf course either. Also, the hottest teams in baseball are staying red hot, and we've got a Flying Squirrels update. All that as MP on the Mic rolls on. This is 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Remember The Office when once a year they have free pretzel day? Everybody loses their mind over pretzel day? I come to this place 364 days a year, and I leave unhappy. But pretzel day, I like pretzel day. It's free ice cream day here at Odyssey, and the countdown is on. We are minutes away.
13 minutes.
Not that we're counting or anything.
Oh, I'm counting.
Oh, we're counting. It's free ice cream day at Odyssey. Who wouldn't be in a great mood? Hazel's back. Welcome back,
hello,
Hazel.
Hello.
You were in New York for the week,
mm-hmm.
and saw. Now your family, your mom, big theater.
She's a retired theater teacher.
So
she's big right, theater.
Cool. You saw seven shows last week.
I did.
I saw one.
Oh,
I saw a youth production of The Sound of Music.
Nice.
St. Giles Church in the West End. It was very nice. That the kids were great. They were awesome. You know, everybody knows the songs, so everybody's singing along. They kind of de-Nazied it, which I think was the right move.
Probably.
For that age. I was a little worried, though, because, you know, like, you've seen The Sound of Music before?
Of course.
They got married, and we had been there about, you know, more than an hour, and that's the end of the first act, right? That's at the, and then the second act's about to start. I was like, oh, like, I mean, it's very, I'm enjoying it, but I don't know that I'm like, let's be here for 3 hours enjoying it.
Right.
But then it was like, they very quickly moved through the next few parts and wrapped it up and had the big walk-off number.
Okay, good.
Which was great. And it was exceptionally well done. But you saw professional theater.
I did. Although I will say, Merrily We Roll Along, which had Daniel Radcliffe.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter himself.
Oh my gosh, that's cool. Wait.
It was very cool, but the first act was an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the second act, I think, was 40.
They had an intermission.
They had an intermission.
But it was unbalanced.
It was shockingly unbalanced. Mm.
Have you been to Broadway, Megan?
No.
No.
I haven't. I've been to New York, but like that's one thing we kind of skipped out on.
Was have you been to a play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of plays growing up, like around town and stuff, local ones.
All right. So we have a big theater crowd here, which is unusual for Sports Talk Radio here.
Yeah. But here we are.
But here we are. Any any highlights that people need to go see this summer?
Oh, well, it's not out yet, but Suffs is a movie about the suffragettes.
Okay.
Suffragettes, apparently. Suffragists. Apparently, Etz is used, was used in the newspaper to make them sound more ladylike and less serious.
Oh, but they didn't call themselves that.
No.
Oh.
I learned a lot about women's voting and that history.
You saw it in previews? Is that what happened?
No, the soundtrack isn't out, but the cast is, I mean, the show is playing.
The show is playing, okay.
You can't go listen to the music yet.
Oh.
But it was very informative. It was great. Learned a lot about Ida B. Wells.
Okay. Yeah.
Mary Terrell. Alice Paul. My mom said, "Who's Alice Paul?" Which was slightly upsetting to me since she's Alice Paul. And if you don't know, she you know, was arrested and force-fed and... Oh, my goodness.
No.
Oh, goodness.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, uh-oh. My goodness.
Uh-oh.
We gotta know our history.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
It helps when they sing it, too.
I just Googled it. Full zero in my,
really?
My Alice Paul file. Sorry.
That is shocking.
Suffragette.
Suffragist. Yeah.
She's a suffragist. Okay. Was it just like a show every day? Did you do two in a day?
Oh yeah, we did two in a day twice.
Oh my gosh.
We were serious.
Wow.
We did not come to mess around. We came to see as many as possible.
Dang.
We
okay.
saw Anne Juliet, which was lovely. Mm. It's a jukebox musical, so there's a lot of like Britney Spears and Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Megan just perked up.
Yeah,
like,
Megan's into it now. That's my musical. that was tons of fun. I suggest going to see that. Six, of course, everyone knows is fantastic. Go
okay.
see Six.
I've heard it's great. I've not seen it. I just saw Hamilton on Disney Plus, so I'm way
I love that one.
Way behind. Yeah. way behind. That'll come. Six will come here eventually though.
It's been here, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
I think it may be back in November. I don't want to lie to you.
At the Altria.
Mm-hmm.
The mosque renamed after cigarettes. the Altria Theater, yes. Somebody's got to underwrite the cultural events of Richmond. Why not the good people of Marlboro Cigarettes? Bringing exactly. a little culture to our lives.
They got the big cigarette out there. They
absolutely.
Got the Altria.
I'll say this. That's a Richmond landmark.
Yeah.
They ever try to tear that down, I don't smoke. I don't endorse smoking. I don't want to smoke. That's a Richmond landmark.
Agreed.
I don't
care.
Yeah, that is absolutely... you don't need a Welcome to Richmond sign. As
no.
long as that's hanging out
you
there.
Just need the big sig.
Yeah, the big sig. The big sig.
The big sig.
Big rigs driving by the big sig. I love it. So when you do two in a day, like, does your butt get tired? Like, that's a lot of sitting.
Oh, yeah, my back was aching.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
Just saying, it's a lot of sitting.
It was a lot of sitting. A lot of standing during intermission, doing some squats, getting the blood flowing again.
I was reading a story about Broadway, how essentially post-pandemic, everybody's like written hundreds of plays, and like there's a glut of new plays, and they're not selling them out because there's too many new plays out there. Too many plays, not enough patrons.
Not enough
people,
patrons.
Visitors.
Audiences all seem pretty full.
There you go.
We saw The Outsiders, which everyone is saying is the play
of the summer. I would agree.
It was What's it about?
Amazing. S.E. Hinton, the book, the first young adult novel.
Oh my goodness. Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord. I'm teaching everybody history today.
Coming of age novel by S.E. Hinton, published in 1967 by Viking Press, details the conflict between two rival gangs divided by their socioeconomic status.
Indeed.
So, like,
the
new
Greasers and the Soches.
New Jets and Sharks.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
I'm in. Yeah.
But
sure.
Lighting was amazing, dancing was amazing. Great. I love that kind of stuff.
Nice.
There you go. Well, that's exciting.
It was great.
All right. Yeah. I love it. Now,
also saw this thing called The Mother Play, which had Jim Parsons in it.
Really?
Sheldon.
Oh, that's cool.
It was kind of funny. None of the, you know, big names kind of put that in there. Like Daniel Radcliffe had his whole list of things, and then at the bottom, like, also Harry Potter. Jim Parsons was like, also Sheldon.
They're trying to like separate themselves. You know,
they're like, I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves came back to beat the Nuggets despite trailing at halftime on the road. Not this weekend's greatest upset, though. This weekend's greatest upset just happened a minute ago when you took me to school on great American literature. That's not the part. Like, Hazel, very smart, goes to VCU, all that. No, the stunner is AWOD Radio just texted me, also shaming me for not knowing The Outsiders. Yeah.
Good job, AWOD.
You guys can have an erudite literary conversation later, catch up on great books, and Stubb and I can talk about movies. And we'll figure
it.
Well, I'm glad all went well, but I'm really glad you're back for what's going to be an eventful week on MP on the Mic tomorrow. Funny car driver Matt Hagen. I don't know if he's funny or not. The car is funny. We don't know if Matt's funny or not. We'll find out tomorrow.
Yet to be determined.
He's very fast, though. We know that for sure. He's the NHRA reigning champion, their Virginia Motorsports Park this week. He'll swing by. He'll be in studio, so that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. I'll be on the road Wednesday in Ashburn for Washington Commanders OTA week number 2. Of 4. This is the 4-week off-season program before we break, come back to training camp. It'll be fun to be back up there. Excited to see Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, the new crew. They're making moves right now, hiring their new staff. So we got a fun week ahead. Most importantly, though, Megan, it's time. You'll be dismissed after this segment ends to go obtain free ice cream for the 910 The Fan crew.
I can handle it. I got you.
It's sample time.
This is an incredibly important responsibility. Report back at 11:15 for the 11:15 segment with ice cream, please.
I will take it with the utmost respect and honor here.
Hour number 2 on tap. It's the Monday Fun Day Show. It's MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Oh, now this is more like it.
There you go.
It's time for sports.
It's time for MP on the Mic.
All right, listen up, class.
MP on the Mic, Michael Phillips with you, live and local. We'll take it over to Capitol Hill House, where AWOD Radio will be standing by at noon. He'll take you up till 3. Grant and Danny drive you home. Who's Talking returns tonight on a big day for UVA athletics. Lacrosse in the Final Four. Baseball sweeps Virginia Tech, walk-off in the 13th inning. And most importantly, I posted this clip on my Twitter on the Xbox, Michael P. and RVA, in the middle of the baseball game, they interviewed one of the UVA players in the dugout, and his teammate is behind him. You can see him in the background. And this isn't, they don't address this, they don't mention this. He's eating a banana.
He sure is.
In the weirdest possible way. He's like eating the top. He's got it horizontally.
Yes.
And he's eating the top half of the banana
in tiny little bites,
like emptying it into like a boat kind of.
Yes.
You got a banana boat left at the end.
Indeed. It wasn't mentioned, but it was definitely the most important part of the interview.
It's like the Seinfeld where George is eating with the fork and the knife, and everybody, right. You know, and everybody's staring at him. It's that. I will never look at eating a banana the same way again now that I've seen this clip. This is...
Yeah. He's eating it like a corn on the cob.
Yep, that's a good way to put it, too. Yeah. If they make the championship, the College World Series, I think this is going to be the rallying cry. It's it's them against America now.
It's banana time.
It's UVA versus America. People who eat a banana correctly versus this gang of hooligans right here.
Choice you've made.
The things going on in that dugout. I mean, that's the kids are watching. Kids are watching this program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tuned in to watch the great American pastime, and they got to see somebody eat a banana like that. No, absolutely.
It's traumatizing.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. We'll get to the golf in a second, but we have a developing story out of Cannes. That's the French town where they have the movie festival every year.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll just say Cannes, right? That's how the French say it. I don't know.
Nah.
Very cultured show today. Broadway, Cannes, we got the works. There's a movie premiering tonight called The Apprentice. It's about Donald Trump.
Okay.
It is not about him hosting the TV show. It's about him apprenticing at a young age, I guess. One of the investors in the film is Dan Snyder. And it's okay. We can do Dan Snyder bits on the show. He's gone now. He's not coming back. It's okay. He's not coming back. We can do funny Dan Snyder bits now. He is an investor in this movie. He is a huge Trump guy. That probably goes without saying. Like, you probably could have jumped to that conclusion. Huge Trump guy. Gave more than $1 million to put on the inauguration when he got elected president.
How disappointing that must have been.
The inauguration itself?
Pouring all that money in, and then what, like 10 people showed up?
Well, but I would assume that funded like the party that the 1% of the 1% got, right? Like,
I'm seeing what you're...
I'm thinking they got cared for.
Inauguration,
right?
After party?
I'm thinking that's probably what he funded, right? This is great. This is from Variety, from Tatiana Siegel, who is in Cannes. Snyder was under the impression the movie would be a flattering portrayal of young Donald Trump when he joined as an investor. Saw it, so it premieres tonight. Tonight is the world premiere. He is now suing to stop the world premiere because he got to see it over the weekend and is reportedly, per Variety, enraged that it is actually a negative portrayal of Donald Trump.
You should have asked more questions,
Dan. He got the old bait and switch there on the Donald Trump movie. So Dan Snyder, still in the middle of everything. He famously went to Cannes every year, took his big boat over there and docked it. It's on the water.
Okay.
The city is. It's on the beach. He couldn't dock his boat in the harbor because the boat was too big. It didn't fit in the docks in Cannes. So he is docked offshore, and him and his crew gets on a smaller boat to go dock in the dock and attend the parties, and then come back out, takes the boat back to the big boat where they live. These are problems the rest of us don't deal with on a...
It must be so hard to be Dan Snyder.
Pour one out.
Seriously.
So let's get to the golf, though. We don't play golf highlights on this program a lot, but it's a major. Today's the day. Let's play some golf highlights because we had a big finish last night in Louisville.
And the stage is clear. 6'2" for Xander Schauffele, who stands at 5'10". If this goes in, he'll be 100 feet tall, Mark Carnevale.
Schauffele for the win. Putter back, ball up to the cup, curls around and drops to the bottom. Hands raised in victory. Xander Schauffele, the winner of the 106th PGA Championship, sets a major championship scoring record of 263 and 21 under par in Louisville. The X-Man crosses the finish line first.
I'm fine with the X-Man. That's good. You know, you got time to think about how you're going to call it. Right, Jim Nantz, always very famously, right, had something ready for the golfers when they won. He went with victory at Valhalla on TV. I don't think enough people leaned into the Valhalla aspect of this. Now, I was talking to some people over the weekend, they weren't aware Valhalla is the Viking afterlife.
Right back to the outsiders.
I don't know the outsiders, but I know what Valhalla means. I think you had an opportunity to do something there. Xander Schauffele, old enough. Big putt for him. Long time runner up in these events. Paris second place finishes at majors. Gets his first major championship, and certainly a well deserved one with that putt. That's the one, right, where the putt is. It's not a gimme. It's a little too far to be a gimme, but it's not so far that if you miss it, it's like, ah, well, it was a, like, mm-hmm. it was a makeable putt that it wasn't a guarantee he was going to make. That was the toughest available length for him to win that tournament with. Crosses the finish line. He's the winner. That wasn't the story of the weekend. Of course, you know what the story of the weekend was. It was Scottie Scheffler, arrested Friday morning, played golf Friday afternoon, back on the course Saturday. The fatigue caught up with him a little bit on Saturday, but then finished strong on Sunday. So here's the deal. He is scheduled to appear in court in Louisville tomorrow morning, which what everybody wants, a bonus 2 days in Louisville for a court appearance after a golf tournament. The reporting from Kevin Van Valkenburg this morning is the charges are going to be dropped against Scottie Scheffler. No words. Stubb and I spent a lot of time Friday on the pants issue. So the police report said that the officer who fell to the ground when Scottie Scheffler drove off, that his $80 pants were damaged beyond repair. And so we were trying to figure out how a pair of pants could be damaged beyond repair.
I think Scotty dragged him. His arm got caught in the trunk and then he took off.
But even if there's a giant hole in the pants, I would argue pants are inherently always repairable.
So you're saying they must have got shredded.
Right? Yeah. I'm saying these pants are the most important piece of evidence in the people of Louisville versus Scotty Scheffler.
I'm going to need to see
them. There's... Dan Snyder will fund the movie about this in a few years. We'll see which way it goes. Here's Scottie Scheffler. This is the wildest press conference of all time. He showed up to the course. He got taken to jail. He came back. He played a round of golf. And this is a very casual recap of My Hour in Jail by Scottie Scheffler.
I was just so confused at what was happening at the time that, you know, I didn't know what time it was. I didn't know what was going on. But when I was sitting in, like, the holding cell or whatever, there was a TV there, and I could see myself on the TV on ESPN. And it was Get Up was on, and so in the corner it showed the time, and it said they were delayed. And I was kind of thinking about my tee time. I was like, well, maybe, you know, I could be able to get out. You know, the officers downstairs, and, you know, they were discussing how long it was going to take me to get released. You know, obviously you have to go through all the due process and everything. And, you know, I was able to kind of see a bit of the TV, and, you know, then I laid down and then I started to stretch a little bit once I got my heart rate down a little bit.
Full disclosure, I guess. I've never been to jail. So I don't know how jail works. It sounds like a stressful situation. Also, though, like, he's in jail watching ESPN talk about him, and he's wondering about his tee time, which are all thoughts I would not personally have in jail.
Incredibly focused.
Dude, call him boring, call him whatever. That's greatest player in the world mentality right there. Mm-hmm. Like that. Oh, that's overcoming adversity, right? There's like, don't let the distractions get to you. Going to jail is the king of distractions. That's the ultimate in distractions right there. He's sitting in jail, and he's like, how are we gonna play nine today? Little dog leg left. Hope my caddy's got the yardage right. I'm gonna need that. What an insane weekend out of Louisville. That's the only thing. And Xander Schauffele, obviously good for him winning his first major. That's not the story from the weekend. We'll let you know if anything happens on the Scottie Scheffler front today, or maybe tomorrow he'll be in court during the show. We'll see what happens. Just a wild series of events that gave us a Friday show. I think it's one of those things where, like, in real time, you're like, this is hard to process in real time. Like, the full sentence, the world's number one golfer was arrested and put in jail this morning outside the golf tournament and then bailed out and returned and played a round of golf and did well. Like, that sentence, just you put it in there, it's our job to make it compute. It doesn't compute. And here we are 3 days later, and nope, I still got nothing on that. Still got nothing there. I got no clue what's going on there with everything, right? And if they drop the charges, I would assume Scotty will just walk away from it. I would assume every tournament's going to be conducted under very different security and traffic procedures.
Cheaper pants.
For the foreseeable future. Cheaper pants. Absolutely. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, it's Free Ice Cream Day at Odyssey. This is a very important day for all of us. We'll keep you updated on everything going on. Caitlin Clark, still struggling. We got a NASCAR fight And you know we're talking about Harrison Butker. It's Monday. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. 11:16 Monday morning, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. I can think of no better way to start this segment than with a Richmond Flying Squirrels update. Let's do this thing. Let you know how the Squirrels are doing. All right, I bounced out of here Friday, went straight to the diamond, got to watch a little baseball. John Michael Bertrand was dealing, as he does, for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. A little late-inning comeback. Squirrels won 5-6 last week against the Reading Fightin' Phils. This is Saturday night where the Squirrels took care of business for their fifth straight W.
2-0 pitch. This one is crushed. Right field, and it's out of here in a hurry. Hello, goodbye, Grant McCray. And his fifth home run of the season was a moonshot. Way over the right field wall. And the Flying Squirrels have an exclamation point for their first run of the game.
There you go. Flying Squirrels 5-6 after that Saturday night win. Then a Sunday loss. 5-6 in the homestand. Back to 17-22 overall. And some nice weather on Friday, too. Just beautiful afternoon game at the ballpark. We got to do that more often. That was fun. Saturday night, a little rainy on Saturday. They're pros. They played through it. They found a way. And then yesterday, the Sunday game, they are now 17-22 overall. Squirrels hit the road for the week. They are back home next Tuesday for a six-game homestand against Erie. On Tuesday, first 1,000 fans, so not tomorrow, but 8 days from now, Tuesday, it's a promotion. It's an umbrella that says, is the game still on? You open up the umbrella, it says, is the game still on? That's the giveaway Tuesday night, first 1,000 fans. I like it. That's clever. It's we'll
check a lot of umbrellas.
That's a lot. That's a
storing 1,000 umbrellas.
1,000 umbrellas. I mean, they get. It's not like a grocery store where they're getting shipments daily. They have a lot of the stuff they're going to give away later this year, in storage somewhere. It's a big place. You know, they've got.
I want to find the umbrella room.
You find the umbrella. Yeah. There you got a
floor to ceiling umbrellas. Is the game still on?
Is the game still on? Megan joins us on Mondays, of course.
Yes.
Megan was house musician for the Squirrels.
Yeah.
On Friday, which is awesome and big gig. So congrats.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was cool how it worked out, too. They have, like, different segments. So, you know, you'd get up and do, like, three songs, and then they'd have, you know, whatever promotions and stuff they were doing, then come back on to two songs, and it was a lot of fun.
I am told you are not the only member of the 910 The Fan crew that was spotlighted at a Squirrels game this weekend. I am told that another member of the crew participated in one of the between innings promotions on Saturday night.
Oh.
And I think you'll get to hear all about it when he produces AWOD Radio from 12 to 3 today.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, sources close to the situation reporting that Stubb was invited to participate in one of the on-field challenges between innings.
Dude, that's fun.
Just saying.
Okay.
Just
that's
saying.
Awesome.
I loved how excited Blaine was for you. Like,
I know.
Blaine was hyping you up.
That was so sweet. Like, anytime I would produce the games, he would be, like, talking about it. And then even on Saturday after the fact, he's like, oh, you did a great job, like, on air and stuff. And he came by and said hi when I was setting up. Super nice, dude.
We love Blaine and Trey. They're great. Trey will be on tomorrow, of course, for Tuesdays with Trey as we set you up for a Flying Squirrels road stand series. But more importantly, it's free ice cream day at Odyssey.
Yeah.
There were two choices. Megan got the job done, so you can stay. Good work.
Thank you.
It was high pressure, high downside. High upside, high downside.
I saw Clifford down there, and I was like, and shout out to Clifford if he's listening.
Underexposed with Clifford.
And I was like immediately, oh, he probably thinks I'm not doing my job because I'm supposed to be like up in the studio with MP right now. So I had to tell him, I was like, MP sent me down here to get the ice cream.
Clifford,
not that you asked. But
Clifford's a radio lifer. He understands that the number one job of a producer is not the producing, but the making sure on free ice cream day.
That's true.
The free ice cream ends up.
He gets it.
Where, you know, because MP can't leave the studio.
Yeah.
Because it's a show that we're doing right now. Yeah. Two flavors available today?
Two flavors. It was root beer and gooey butter cake. I got the gooey butter cake. You got the gooey butter cake. You got the root beer.
I did.
Thoughts?
I like it. I think it's really good. I was hoping for a few more flavors like you said, but like it's really good.
Beggars can't be choosers.
That's
free.
True.
It's free ice cream day, and we ended up with a good ice cream flavor. I feel like that's all you can ask for. Now, is that... That doesn't look as chocolatey as I would have expected. The root. I would have expected the root beer to be a dark chocolate color, but it's not. It's kind of swirled in.
Yeah, it is.
Some vanilla and root beer swirls, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It looks like a cream soda color.
Are you a root beer float fan in general? Okay. So is this up your alley then?
I am a fan.
Yeah.
Seal of approval.
I don't love root beer.
Oh, really?
Just, yeah, period. A&W Barks, all that. Like, yeah, I don't want a root beer float. I don't want a glass of root beer.
Like,
remember when A&W had restaurants?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that still... Megan, shake your head.
No, I don't remember this.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like Burger King or whatever, but it was A&W's, like all American cheeseburgers and root beers.
Yep.
That was awesome. A big mall food court spot.
Yeah.
Okay. Orange Julius... Chinese place that's not Panda Express but serves the exact same things as Panda Express. Some kind of hibachi box. Cheese steaks. There's always a cheese. The Great Steak. Something like that. Chick-fil-A if you're at a bougie mall. If they could afford a Chick-fil-A, they've got a Chick-fil-A there. That's kind of your mall food court rundown.
Yeah.
For a while, A&W was a... Now, you've got Auntie Anne's as well, the pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
They're not in the food court. They're usually somewhere else.
They're at my mall.
But are they in the food court, or are they at, like, a kiosk on the other side?
No, they're in the food court.
Whoa, okay.
Interesting.
I'm used to them having, like, you know, a standalone with the smell bringing everybody in.
I was going
to
say, that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. Cinnabon, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. the smell alone there at Cinnabon, you're in. Yeah. The cookie cake people... Who do chocolate chip cookie that's a birthday cake? That's a big one.
They have a standalone at my mall.
That's a stand. Which one's your mall? Chesterfield Town Center?
Chesterfield Town Center.
Great food court at Chesterfield Town Center. You got
it's
the
really
Chick-fil-A.
Good.
You've got the Hawaiian barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Barnes & Noble right there. I mean, that's all anybody could ever ask for out of a food court.
Now
a mall food court.
Now, do you remember when the Barnes & Noble used to be a movie theater?
No.
That was probably like, geez, I was probably like 5 when that was a thing. So I remember like going one time, seeing like 101 Dalmatians or something.
Stony Point's got a movie theater. They've got the CineBistro.
Which was not impressed by that.
You weren't impressed by CineBistro?
Oh,
wow.
No.
What? No?
No.
It's big comfy seats and they bring you food.
The food was good and like it was very comfortable and like good experience and stuff, but just price-wise, it was not worth it.
It's expensive. I don't eat a full meal at CineBistro.
Yeah.
That's like if I'm going to spend $25 on a steak dinner, I don't want to eat it while I'm watching movie previews sitting in a movie theater seat. That's too much for me. But a little snack? I'm in for a little I'm always in for a little snack. why not? Always in for a little snack. NASCAR last night.
Yeah.
Were you on the buttons for NASCAR last night?
I was, yes.
NASCAR went off the rails last night. What?
They did. I was like, because I was just sitting there and like the broadcast is on and next thing you know, I hear something about a fight and a fist fight and fists are going. I was like, what the heck is going on?
Kyle Busch, who is, all right, I love Kyle Busch. He is unapologetically the bad guy. In NASCAR. Like, and I think that's kind of softened over time, but for a while he was the villain among NASCAR characters. He got in a fight with Ricky Stenhouse Jr., no file on Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Mm. Right? You could tell him, anything you tell me about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is about to be the first thing I learn about Ricky Stenhouse Jr. But they wrecked, and afterward, the video's phenomenal. You got to watch the video because Kyle is marching over to Ricky Stenhouse to go pick a fight. And Ricky is just like leaning against a pole, like just casual, cool kid, like, oh, here comes Kyle Busch. Guess he's going to pick a fight with me. And then Ricky slugs him first.
Oh,
Kyle's in there yelling. Ricky slugs him. But the crazy part is they separate the two of them. And then Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s dad, who, and again, zero file here, I'm going to guess Ricky Stenhouse Sr. That's just a wild guess here. I don't know his name. Ricky's dad comes in and starts fighting Kyle Busch.
Oh!
All in the family.
Family affair, yeah.
All in the family. And so the video is Kyle Busch, like, trying to push this old man off of him, then Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who started the fight, being held back, yelling, "Somebody get my dad out of there."
Oh, my God.
Because his dad has gone in to finish the business.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not here to say that every week should feature a fight at NASCAR, but it certainly enlivened things up a bit.
It brought some excitement.
I worked here at the paper. I was the low guy. I was the new guy. We're going to have to blow through the break to tell the Southside Speedway story, but I think it's going to be worth it. Go out to Southside Speedway in Chesterfield, write about the races.
Yeah.
I have vague awareness of NASCAR. Like, sure, I could do this. So it's a lot of guys, like, driving their cars. Like, and tempers are hot. Like, there were multiple fights throughout the night. Drivers fighting, pit crews fighting, just so many people wailing on each other. They don't do it anymore. Southside's closed, but it was a scene. Like, there was the racing and then there was the fighting, and it was a little of this and a little of that, and they were moving back and forth.
Are they still trying to save it?
The county bought the land at one point, was going to expand River City Sportsplex and make it bigger. But then there was a group of people like, we should save Southside Speedway. Everybody wanted Denny Hamlin to come by it and run it because he's a famous NASCAR driver, and that was where he raced first.
Okay.
But Denny doesn't seem to be super interested in doing it. Mm-hmm. So the problem is everybody wants it to be a racetrack, but it does not appear that anybody is interested in running it as a racetrack.
Yeah.
Nor would I guess is that a particularly high margin business if you're charging admission once a week, selling hot dogs. Like, at least the big track, you know, tickets to that are a substantial amount of money. You can't do that at Southside Speedway. Like, if you're charging more than $10, you're probably losing everybody there.
Exactly.
That's a tough business to run. They opened one outside of Fredericksburg, like Dominion Raceway, that's like kind of a lesser version. So there is still short track amateur racing in town.
Further away.
Now, I had a friend who worked the concession stand at Southside Speedway for a few years, and the deal was they didn't get paid a lot, but at the end of the night, whatever didn't sell, they could take home.
See, that kind of makes it worth it, though.
And so he'd say, like, the last race of the night, you know, it was like 20 minutes before closing time, they'd throw 40 burgers on the grill.
I mean, yeah.
And cook them all up.
Yeah.
And then when they didn't sell, my favorite part of covering high school football games was always, in the fourth quarter of a high school football game, they make the call over the intercom, like, "We got some hot dogs left. They're 25 cents. Come and get one."
Yeah.
That, I don't know if they still do that. I don't know if they need it. Gary has to be in here on Friday. We'll ask Gary.
Gary
will know for sure. That was always my favorite part. Like, you know, you could get like a good meal for a dollar if you waited it out.
I mean, I'm always down for free food. I have a gig coming up where we haven't really determined what I'm getting paid or what I'm not getting paid, but they're like, "Oh, we'll give you free food and free tea." I'm
sold.
Like, dude, I'm down.
Sold.
Let's go.
We'll give you free coffee and I'll take it.
Oh, dude, I didn't even think about that because that's where I get my coffee from.
Boom. Love it. All right, we got to step aside. Two segments to go. We'll crosstalk with AWOD, and we'll dive into everything else going on in the world of sports. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. All right, we've come all this way. We haven't done the Harrison Butker thing. We're going to do that in a second. But first, do I have a root beer fact for you? By the way, everybody coming at me for my root beer hate today. Derby Bill's on here telling me he's going to turn me around. Stubbs says I used to live in the darkness too. I'm not a root beer fan. I'm open-minded. I'm willing to try root beer. Unlike Harrison Butker, I'm open-minded, willing to try different sodas. All right. There are 900 A&W cheeseburger stores across America, which blew my mind.
Impressive.
The Richmond franchise rights were first held by J.W. Marriott. J. Willard Marriott.
Oh.
Who, this is family lore, went to school at the University of Utah, was vacationing in D.C. during the hot, muggy summer, and recognized a tailor-made market for A&W root beer.
Oh.
Started the A&W root beer franchise in the DC Mid-Atlantic Richmond region and turn those into the first Marriott hotels. Or what? as they say during the ads, Marriott. They say it Marriott when they do the ads, so I'm assuming that's correct. I've always said Marriott, but you know, not to you know, I don't know. That's neither here nor there.
They can say it however they want.
That's correct. So A&W Root Beer turned into Marriott Hotels.
Not a fact I saw coming.
You never know where this show's going to go. The Harrison Butker thing. Look, everybody's obviously heard about this by now, and the close when the Chargers schedule release video with the Sims had him in the kitchen cooking, which I thought was a particularly inspired touch, obviously. So everybody said, Megan called my attention to a part of this. No, Hazel did. You were all over this.
Yeah.
He was talking about meeting Taylor Swift as well.
Yes.
This is an important part of the speech as well. So let's play this part of the speech.
But Travis showed up and Taylor was there, and I got to meet her, and she was just so humble and so gracious. I don't think she grew up a football fan, so everything for her is so cool, and especially as a kicker, she thinks that's amazing that I can kick the ball so far through the uprights. So I was a little nervous to meet Taylor Swift. I mean, it's Taylor Swift, so maybe I'm a Swiftie if I was nervous to meet her. But
what? Now, Harrison Butker has bigger problems than this, obviously, at the moment. But among them, how in the world are you patronizing to Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
I met this sweet little girl, and she is just so impressed I can kick that football.
She thought I could kick it so far through the uprights.
She'd never seen anything like it before.
Not to mention, she is a football fan.
Yes!
what are you talking about? She's been a football fan.
She's really enamored with me once she saw what I could do with the football.
You just got to imagine the conversation was like, you know, he's all nervous and she goes, oh, you're the kicker. So cool how you can kick the ball so far through the uprights.
You did the thing where you kicked it. Taylor, just encouraging. And he was like, wow, she lives in awe and admiration of what I do every day. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Here's my thing. Athletes can get full of themselves. Professional athletes can get full of themselves. I'm not sure how the kicker gets full of himself.
Unclear.
That's a new one to me.
Unclear.
The kicker, whose day-to-day existence is tenuous on any team, there's basically one kicker in America who has job security. He's Justin Tucker. He kicks for the Ravens. He's better than all the others. Every other kicker lives a day-to-day existence. You make the kick, you get to continue being employed. You miss the kick, you're no longer employed. Somehow what he's taken from this is, boy, Taylor Swift, she wishes she was with the kicker and not the tight end.
Doesn't everybody?
In his mind. Yeah. We talk about the Chiefs all the time. They're the most drama-filled team in the world. That was right. Taylor Swift, will she distract the team? The team is a walking distraction at all times. Nothing about the Kansas City Chiefs is non-distracting at any time. Patrick Mahomes' dad was arrested Super Bowl week. The coach's son was involved in a car accident and killed somebody. Travis Swift is dating Taylor.
Almost.
Whatever.
Almost.
Basically.
Almost.
Taylor Swift. Travis Kelce. The whole thing's a walking distraction.
Yeah.
Jackson Mahomes, he's a human distraction. Brittany Mahomes, kind of a distraction too. They're all just... And then on top of this, the kicker's like, hang on, guys. I'd like to be a distraction too.
Why not?
He will be... Because normally, the kickoff is the play you go get a beer during, or you go to the bathroom during.
Right.
He's going to get booed so hard all season long. It will be remarkable.
If he has a job, which we've remarked, they could hire a woman to replace him.
Yeah,
I think they should for the preseason game. Because there are, I'm blanking, the Women's World Cup star who worked out with the Eagles during a training camp once, right? And was doing some kicks. You can find a woman who can, the Vanderbilt kicker, was it Mizzou or Vanderbilt? I forget. In college football.
Yeah.
They played in a game a few years ago. You can find a female kicker. Now, I'm not saying they should permanently replace him.
Yeah.
But preseason game, absolutely.
I think he just needs a little bit of humble.
That's the statement here. That's all the statement is here. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's very impressed with himself.
He thinks he's hot stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks Taylor Swift thinks he's hot stuff.
Sure she does, buddy.
She said, you're the one kicking the ball all the way through the upright.
Wow.
Who does that? Who does that? What I appreciate, he does his whole thing about how women should be in the kitchen and whatnot. But yeah. Then at the end, it's a full-on like drive-by of like 9 other groups.
Oh, yeah.
He just like rattles them off. Like, I see like you know, when the producer's calling for time here, and I'm like, let's squeeze in an NBA clip. He's like, hang on. I got some more bigoting to squeeze in. I could do this before the time's up.
I have to insult people.
I spent a long time thinking about what to do here. I don't think he should be fired for this, because I'm kind of an absolutist on that. Like, people say dumb things, It's free speech that we can call him an idiot, and he, like, obviously there's a point where you cross the line and you gotta go, but I think his consequence here is he's going to be booed and shamed every time he takes a football field for the rest of his life. Yeah. That's the consequence here.
But he kicks it so far through the uprights.
So far,
he kicks it so far, MP.
I don't get the sense Taylor would like write a song that would disrupt the, like, I think Travis would be like, hey, that's a pretty fire song you wrote about him. Let's wait to release that until after the season.
Yeah, that's true.
Non-zero chance, though, she's written a song about this. Like,
that's very true.
Good material.
They could play it during his kickoffs.
Absolutely.
The Taylor Swift song, World's Tiniest Violin. Smallest Man, right?
Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
Or The Man. The Man would be a good one, too.
She's got material to work with here.
Yeah.
I don't think it's coming immediately. I just say in 2-3 years from now, when you hear vague references to the uprights in a song, you're going to know where that came
this
from.
This is like free inspiration here. I mean, like, she heard it and she's like, oh, that's a hit.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
thank you, buddy.
On a team with like the most notable people in the world, somehow the kicker has become even more notable in the middle of May.
And now we just have to mention, because this whole thing is about how, you know, women are so impressed with him and they belong in the kitchen, blah, blah, blah.
My life has not started yet.
Your life hasn't started yet, Megan. You haven't found your calling as a homemaker.
Apparently not.
What does his mom do? She's a physicist.
Very accomplished.
Yeah. She's an accomplished physicist.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
How did this happen?
That's not being stuck
How
in the
this
kitchen.
Occur?
That's very independent, very impressive.
Who did anybody read the speech before it was given?
Great question.
Who signed off on this? So many questions. We got a whole week of radio ahead. We'll get to the bottom of some stuff. Who's Talking returns tonight. Big week for UVA with lacrosse and baseball both picking up big wins. We'll crosstalk with AWOD, dive into a big night in the NBA. I've got a soccer question for AWOD. We'll get that answered on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.